A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 31st March 2024. It's a Sunday. It actually coincides with our Chinese Qingming festival, Qingmingjie. This one has nothing to do with Buddhism. It is mainly a Chinese tradition, a Chinese festival. They also call it the Tomb Sweeping Day, Sao Mo. So this is to remember the disease, which is also very significant in the sense that in one of the sutta, Theravada tradition, Theravada Sutta, the Buddha did mention, he said, we must actually recall to mind our departed relatives and all those things, and do whatever wholesomeness we can on their behalf or in their name to help them have a better life. So that one is in one of the sutta, Theravada Sutta. Because those living beings that are born into that realm, we call it the hungry ghost realm. In that realm, they don't have society like we are on earth, where we have our career, our commerce trade, and agriculture farming, and also currency and various way to like earn a living, and use that whatever wealth we accumulate or receive to actually exchange for things and buy things. So down there, there is no plowing, no farming, no common nothing. They have to depend on only merits transferred from their relative who are still alive. So apart from that, they suffer. They suffer a lot down there. So because of that, the Chinese tradition, this Qingming or Tomb Sweeping Day, is in a way significant because you can recall to mind the departed relative, especially your own parents or your close siblings or whoever. Then, of course, our traditional one is to burn incense and make food offering, thinking that they will receive it in the hereafter life. But most of these are just belief. But it do have a little bit of significance because in their rhyme down there, they have this joy when they see the departed relatives, and they observe that those relatives of theirs who are still living remember them and come and sweep their tomb and prepare all the food. They develop the joy. Although it's not something tangible to the extent that it can make a difference to your life, but that those moments of joy actually can be useful. Instead of keeping with the anger, the hatred, and the misunderstanding and all those things, then they come and disturb you because you don't know how to respect them and do all those things. Like in the Theravada Sutta is mentioned, they may stay around your house and all those things and create the eerie condition or atmosphere. So all this is based on understanding. So do not just dismiss all this. If people want to do, let them do. But as Buddhists, as cultivators of the way, we got better ways of doing it. Of course, we can go for Qingming. No harm. If you want to go, go. then bears back, then redeem the metta, then wish them well-being and make offerings in their name, and transfer merits, share merits, then share with them the Dhamma and all those things. So all these are very useful. Yeah? Okay, so this is just a short maybe sharing on Qingming Jian. The actual day is 4th of April, but most people will have done it the weekend before, which is this Saturday and Sunday. Some may do it earlier, or some may do it on the actual day or later, it up to you. So this is just a short sharing for people who may not understand the relevance or significance of our Chinese traditional celebration of Qingming Jie or Qingming in Hokkien. Okay, as usual, we will now have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence our physical puja. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mou Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mou Ni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mou Ni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Tishang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Let us pay respect to Pajam. Petang Pucim. Damang Pucim. Sanghang Pucim. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities and devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta cakawalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma Svaran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svaran Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Svaran Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vichacharana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddha Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opadaiko Pachyatang Veditatmo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato saukkasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Yeah, page 16. Okay, before that, I think I will do some recap. We were actually going through this Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. It's a very important sutta in the Mahayana tradition. They call it the Liu Zhu Tan Jing, means Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Six Patriarch is Master Hui Neng, Hui Neng Da Si, or Hui Neng Liu Zhu. So It started off with his encounter with a merchant who is chanting the Diamond Sutta near the place where he delivered his firewood. So when he heard that part, when it's mentioned, the mind must have no dwelling, he suddenly came to great awakening, like he understood those words very profoundly. It impacted upon him. Then he inquired with the person who chanted that thing. He said, "What is it that you are chanting?" The merchant was amazed. He looked at him and said, "You are a woodcutter, an educator, winning. Why did you ask?" He said, "I don't know. After I heard those words, it touches my heart. And like I understood what those words were." And he was like awakened, came to great awakening. Then he said, that's the reason why he inquired. He said, "This is a very famous sutta, the Diamond Sutta, Jing Gang Jing. How can you understand it? You are a lay person, illiterate, and doesn't know about the Dhamma." Then Hui Neng just asked one question. He said, "Where did you hear it? Where did you learn?" He said, "I heard it from the fifth patriarch, Hong Ren, at Hong Mei Mountain." Then he said, "How can I go there?" Then this person who was reciting, I think he's a merchant, he is quite well off. Then he said, "Then what about your mother and all those things?" Then Hui Neng said, "Yeah, maybe I need to resettle my mother and make sure everything is okay before I go." Then the merchant said, "Don't worry. If you have this type of extraordinary condition," he said, "I will help you. I will look after your mother. Then I will pay for your journey. And I give you a letter of recommendation so that you can pass it to the fifth patriarch and receive his blessing because introduced by him." I think he must have done quite a bit of offerings there. Yeah? And he personally must have knew the fifth patriarch. So because of that, he went. Then the rest is history. When he was there, I think he was sent to the kitchen area to pound rice and help out with all the kitchen chores. Then many months later, Master Hong Ren announced to the monks, community, the disciples, and all the people who are training under him at the monastery. He said, "The question of incessant rebirth is a momentous one. Day after day, most people, instead of trying to free themselves, develop the cultivation to liberate themselves from this bitter world or a bitter sea of suffering or birth and death. They seem to be more interested in going after tinted merits only, that is, merits which will cause rebirth. Yet merits will not be of help if your essence of mind is obscure." That statement is very profound. You can have innumerable merit, but if your nature is being clouded, or essence of mind has been clouded, then all this merit is of no use, because it was still conditioned rebirth. So here the statement is very important. Yet merits of this nature, tinted merit, will be of not much use or will not help you if your essence of mind is obscure. Go and seek prajna. or wisdom that can awaken you. Where do you seek it? Seek it in your own mind, and then write me a stanza or a gatha about it. He who understands what the essence of mind is will be given the robe, the insignia of the patriarchship, and the Dhamma, the ultimate teachings of Sakyamuni Buddha, and I shall make him the sixth patriarch. Go quickly. Delay not in writing the stanza, as deliberation is quite unnecessary and of no use. Then the fifth patriarch said, he who has realized the essence of mind can speak of it at once, means no need to prepare, no need to read up, no need to store in memory. He can speak to you and answer you off cuff, means of it at once, as soon as he is spoken to about it. And he cannot lose sight of it even when engaged in battle. In the ancient day, it's very scary when there is war and all those things. So this is what was mentioned. Then after that, I think Sun Tzu decided to write a poem middle of the night, but left it unsigned, anonymous, because he's scared it may not qualify for patriarchship. But if the fifth patriarch say it's good, then he will come out and confirm that he is the author. So that was his plan. But what happened was, Sun Tzu's poem, not bad, but like that, he haven't realized the true essence of mind. He doesn't have the understanding of what that true mind is, that awareness nature within. He has no idea. That's why the fifth patriarch actually didn't say anything bad about his poem. He in fact gave him a bit of compliment. He told the disciple, he said, practice according to this gatha and you will not fall into the evil rhyme. And this is very true, because this gatha can actually lead you to realize the sainthood way, which is at least sotapanna shape, so that you won't go down to the evil rhyme. Then after that, he said, and you will receive great blessings and benefits. Then light incense and pay respect to this gatha, recite it, and the hint at the end there is very important, and cultivate so that you will realize your essence of mind, or essential nature, original nature. Then after that, he privately went to Sun Tzu and told Sun Tzu. He said, you have arrived at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to go in. With this level of understanding, you still have no idea what that supreme Bodhi mind is, what that essential nature is. But upon hearing my words, you should immediately recognize the original mind, the true nature, the essential nature, which is unborn and unceasing. The next paragraph is very significant and important. At all times, see it clearly in every thought. May stay with the true mind, the silent mind, your awareness nature. With the mind free from all mental hindrance. In the one reality, everything is real, and all phenomena are just as they are. So that hint was so powerful But yet, since you couldn't develop the understanding, although Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, gave him another chance, is it? He told Sensei, with this, go and compose another gatha that demonstrate your true understanding. Then present it to me again. But Sensei tried very hard and couldn't come up with another verse based on what the master has shared with him. So because of that, Sensei was not able to proclaim the six patriarch ship's position that was available. Then in the meantime, Master Hongren, the fifth patriarch, went to visit Huineng in the kitchen. So we actually stopped there. So now we shall continue. So here I will continue. When a young novice passed the rice mill or the kitchen area reciting Sensei's gatha, Huineng, at that time he's still just ordinary Huineng, immediately knew that this verse lacked true insight. Means the person who recites it hasn't realized the true mind, the true awareness nature within. So he went to the wall and asked a district officer there to help him write a poem of his own. The officer was surprised. He said, "How extraordinary! You are an illiterate and you want to compose a gatha." Whereupon Huineng said, "If you seek supreme enlightenment," now this also applies to all cultivators. "If you seek supreme enlightenment, do not slight anyone or look down upon anyone. The lowest class may have the highest insight or great insight, and the highest class may commit foolish acts." In veneration, the officer wrote Huineng's gatha on the wall for him, next to Sensei. You all listen, this gatha that Huineng wrote actually tear Sensei's poem apart completely, because this one is based on the real wisdom that has penetrated the awareness nature, the true mind. So as you all know, Huineng was born with a very unique form of mind. He don't have a mundane mind. The moment he was born, he already with the true mind, the silent mind. So this one is a very unique quality being who actually has this great potential. That's why he listened to the Diamond Sutta. He can awaken. When he said the mind must have no dwelling, yeah, he don't have mundane mind to dwell anywhere. That's why he understand what that one mean. And he got nothing to obscure his true mind, his true nature. Well, there's no mundane thinking, aggregate of mind or mind state through all the views, opinion, conditioning, belief system that come and clung. His nature shine forth, and he can see things clearly as they are. So everything like very easy for him. That's why he can come out with this poem. He said, "I read the Mandarin first, then I will translate to you the English." He said, "Puti Beng Wu Su," means Bohi, which is enlightenment, is fundamentally without any tree. Then Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, the mind, which Sensei thought is a true mind, is actually the mundane mind. He said the true mind is neither a stand or a mirror bride. But this mirror bride on the stand, which is the mundane mind, sensual thought, is a true mind. That's why he tear him apart. He said that true mind is neither a stand nor the mirror bride. I mean, both of these mirror bride on the stand, they are not the true mind. Then he said, "Bǎn lái wú yì wú," means originally that nature has nothing. You cannot talk about no words, nothing, no duality. You cannot describe it at all. It has nothing. So originally there was nothing. "Bǎn lái wú yì wú." Then the last stanza is the follow up, which is most beautiful. He said, "If it's originally empty or nothing, then where can the dust alight? He chu re chen ai." So this gatha was so beautiful. So when Hui Ning then went back to the rice pounding, however, this gatha created a bigger stir. Everybody was saying, "Amazing, you can't judge a person by his look or his education or from where he come from. Maybe he will become a living bodhisattva soon." However, when Master Hongren came out, he just casually said, "This one also hasn't seen the essential nature," and proceed to wipe the gatha off with his shoe. The fifth patriarch then went secretly to the room where the rice was found. Here is where the interesting communication between the fifth patriarch and Hui Ning. Seeing that Hui Ning was working there with a stone pedestal, he said to him, so the stone pedestal, you know, is a heavy stone that Hui Ning tied to his waist to add weight to his body because he was skinny. So he don't have the size and the weight to help him pound the rice faster. So he add that pestle, stone pestle, to his waist. Then the fifth patriarch, seeing that, asked Hui Ning, said to him, "A seeker of the path," means the Dhamma, "risking his life for the Dhamma, should he not do so?" Means Hui Ning already knew the fifth patriarch actually agreed with what he intended to receive. Then the fifth patriarch asked the next question. He said, "Is the rice ready?" Hui Ning's reply was so beautiful. "Is it ready long ago?" Means since the day he walked into the fifth patriarch's monastery. He said, "Only waiting for the sieve," means to go through the sieve to separate the husk from the rice. And then everything is rice. So with Hui Ning's reply, the fifth patriarch then gave him a hint. He just knocked the mortar thrice with his stick and left. So knowing what the fifth patriarch meant, in the middle of the night at the third watch, sunken, third watch, Hui Ning went to the fifth patriarch's room. That night, Hongren received Hui Ning in his abode and expounded the Diamond Sutta to him. See, again is the Diamond Sutta. That's why the Diamond Sutta is very profound. Then when the fifth patriarch came to the passage that mentioned this, listen attentively, he said, "To use the mind and yet to be free from any attachment or delusion." The moment he heard that, Hui Ning came to great enlightenment or awakening. Then he exclaimed that all Dhamma are inseparable from the self nature. He straight away knew. He exclaimed, "How amazing that the self nature is originally pure, complete by itself. How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. How amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. All this mesh with the Heart Sutta. How amazing that all Dhamma come from this self nature. See, from that self awareness nature, that awareness nature, all creation come from, manifest. The four circle I teach you, the four circle formation, from the source, or we call it the Buddha nature, or the original nature, Penlai, the Mianmu, or the self nature. This is the one that I have included under the new book that is going to be printed maybe next month or what. That one I haven't finalized, but it's in the midst of editing. I just complete the editing. Then I send it to Chui, who will help me to do the whole thing. The four circle formation to explain the stages of creation. So what Huining meant is, after hearing from the fifth patriarch, he completely came to great awakening, because his missing link is he has this true mind, awareness nature within since birth. But nobody explained to him. That's why he doesn't know what it is, but he can use it. He see, he know what all this thing is, but he doesn't have the complete understanding of how marvelous this nature is, how it can be developed into such understanding. That's why the fifth patriarch was to go through the Diamond Sutta with him until he reached that part on that mind. This mind, he said, means the mundane mind. You must know how to use it and yet not be deluded by it. So that one refer to the number three circle, the third circle from the left. Then after that, he immediately understood what that nature is. Means that so-called mundane mind, or in Huining's case, is the supramundane mind, because his mundane mind has collapsed. So what has come out is the supramundane mind. Like what happened to my nature after the year 1989, when my mundane mind collapsed, my third circle gone. But then another mind, which is very fine, like no mind, that one is a supramundane mind. That one, no grasping, no clinging, no delusion. That one surface and replace the mundane mind. So that super mundane mind, he said, you must learn how to use it. And for normal people, you must not be deluded by it or deceived by it or have any delusion to attach and cling on to it. Then he like understood the whole secret of life. Then he knew immediately from that nature how all these things come about. That's why he said, how amazing that all Dhamma arise from that nature. So what he mean is our source, the Buddha nature, or we call it the unconditioned. When you realize Nibbana, you touch that circle. And that is also called the true nature, original nature, and the oneness nature. Different people give it by different name. Then the first thing to come out from there is the true mind, the pure awareness nature. That is a second circle. So that one, you cannot give it a name or talk about it or describe it. But that one has got no words, no thought, nothing. Just the awareness nature that is aware, ever shining, luminous, bright, pure nature. So that is the first to come out. But for that to come out, you need a form and mind, karmically conditioned. The rain become very heavy, until now still very heavy. So this pure awareness nature is the first thing to come out from the source. But for this to happen, you must have a form and mind, karmically conditional. That's why as a human being, we are born into this world with a physical body and a consciousness trapped inside. And we need this to access that true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. You need to develop the ability to cultivate the awareness-based meditation to cease the thinking. When the mundane thinking ceases, that which is all the time there before the arising of the mundane thinking, that is your true mind, your pure awareness nature. Actually, from there, it created or manifested the mundane mind. And the mundane mind, through its senses, manifested the external form or phenomenal world of consciousness. We call it our existential world or conditioned world. So this one is the one that is luring and enticing. Through delusion, you will grasp and cling and develop unnecessary suffering because you think everything is so real, so beautiful, so enticing, and so luring, and you want to own them, possess them, and you want to have them. That's why your evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, they manifest. And all this is what existence is all about, life is all about. So from the mundane mind, it manifests. So these are the stages of creation. That's why Hui Ning, he mentioned it very well. He said, he exclaimed and told the fifth period, how amazing that the self nature, means the Buddha nature, is originally already perfect, pure. Then how amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying. How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete. How amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. And this is the meaning. Means nothing. No word, no duality, nothing. You cannot describe it. Then how amazing that all Dhamma come from this self nature. And this is the creation, the manifestation. So this pure awareness nature, or what we call it our true nature or our self nature, this one is the one that actually manifested the mundane mind. The mundane mind actually arises from there. The process of its arising, you can only see it when you have stabilized your awareness nature. Then when you have the form and mind together connected to it, then you will see how you function as a human being, how you manifest through your senses and the consciousness trapped inside, how upon contact consciousness come to be, then how from there you input the content of consciousness and trigger of the thought, which is the five aggregates of form and mind. And this is where the mental creation start. From there, the phenomenal world of consciousness arise, the sixth sense door. So you can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactilely feel and think. And this is how you know the world. This is how you interact with the world. This is how the phenomenal world of consciousness come to be. And to the Buddha, consciousness is an aggregate of mind. The analogy is, it's like a magician. It creates a lot of illusion for you to see. magician is also called an illusionist and create illusion. So the phenomenal world of consciousness is actually an illusionary world, not what you think. So this is how the creation starts. So what I want you to understand is I have to explain how from the second circle, the pure awareness nature, the mundane mind arises. And a lot of people who don't have the understanding and the cultivation cannot understand. Where they use the mundane mind to think. Through knowledge, they try to develop the understanding. There is no way, you can't. Why? Because without a stable awareness nature, you cannot see how thought arises. Thought does not fall from there, understand? It's not that the true mind has fallen to become the mundane mind. That is complete delusion and wrong. The true mind, like I say, that nature existed before thought. How can it fall? And to understand that, you must stay there and see the creation process. So what happened is that nature, like I explained before, is spacious awareness. So I draw on the whiteboard, maybe it's clearer. Just like at the retreat, I explained to you all before. So the second circle is our pure awareness nature. So from the source, you come to this pure awareness nature. Okay? So this pure awareness nature, this one is actually spacious awareness before it trigger off the mundane mind. So this one is the mundane mind. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness. So here is actually spacious awareness. Means when you are here at the pure awareness nature, you are just this spacious awareness. Means the oneness nature, the awareness nature. So what happens is, when your senses start to operate, your sixth sense, take for example seeing consciousness. How do you see? Like you want to perceive the Buddha image or perceive anything. You have to focus there. You have to shrink the spacious awareness into a small space. So what happens is when you shrink it into a small space, so this is the small space. Then you input the content of consciousness. This content of consciousness, they come from your memory, which is basically your accumulation in your brain. So your brain, your memory, which is full of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, scars of memory, insecurity, and all the accumulated psychological memory and rubbish. From there, you act. That's how you input the content. Then this one, trigger off into a thought. This is the second aspect of your five aggregate of forming mind. Now you understand. So this one is an independent space, which is after you have shrink the spacious awareness. This spacious awareness is the oneness. This is the oneness nature. So initially, you are this spacious awareness, the oneness, but it has shrink and become this. So the shrinking is not this fellow, not your pure awareness nature. It is the form and mind that wants to perceive something through the senses, it shrink and created the thought. That's why the thought, which is the mundane mind. So this one, I better write. This one, the thought, is actually your mundane mind. That's why it's the second aspect, huh? Second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So this mundane mind is not your pure awareness nature. So now you understand, huh? The creation process, go back to the four circle formation. Yeah. From the source, the first thing that come out and appear is the pure awareness nature, okay? You follow my daughter's castle, huh? The castle. From the source, it come out and move to the pure awareness nature. So from here, this pure awareness nature is before the mundane mind. It was there all the time. Understand not? But because the mundane mind has a form and mind with the senses and the consciousness trapped inside, that's why it created the thought from there. But from there, it shrinks into a small space and you input the content and trigger off the thought. And that is the mundane mind. So it's not the pure awareness nature that falls. It's nothing to do with that. This mundane mind is a result of the karmic process of the form and mind that is trapped inside to the karmic process. That's why the karmic nature conditioned the form and mind to arise. And you need to have a form and mind in order to meditate, to connect to the true mind. And this true mind, which is your pure awareness nature, is very difficult to detect. Because this mundane mind must be completely quiet and still for it to arise. So to even have a glimpse of what that stillness is, that silence is, it's not easy. Most people who don't have the understanding and the training, they cannot even have a moment of stillness without thought. Even a moment without thought is impossible to them. Either they completely become unconscious or they are full of heedless thinking, thought process. That's why the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. That's why the Buddha said, in order to develop the wisdom, you need to silence your mind to realize the true mind, the silent mind, or what we call the meditative mind. So you need to develop heedfulness. To be heedful is to be ever mindful. Then use that state of mind that is ever mindful without thought to cultivate. And then it becomes heedful. That's why initially we need to train our mind, which is the thinking mind, the mundane mind, to become very quiet and very still, so that we will realize the true mind, the awareness nature there. Then the moment you realize it, you must stabilize it. If you don't stabilize it, you cannot understand what that nature is and how beautiful that nature is and how it can develop the ability to awaken, to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, to insight into phenomena and to awaken, and to see things as they are, see the creation process, the birth process, and to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. You not only have a form and mind, you have a pure nature inside. But that one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. You cannot say that one is you. But you can use it when you know how to meditate to assess it and stay there and realize what that thing is. You can make use of that to understand, to develop wisdom. Like the Trinity Triangle. You go the left, you don't go the right. You go to the right, you become from mundane living, thought activity and all those things. So the silent mind, which is a pure awareness nature, is capable of the direct seeing, to see things as they are, to awaken, or to insight into phenomena and to realize the three universal characteristics of all phenomena within nature. Okay? So hopefully with this explanation, you all can develop clearer and more stable understanding of how the whole creation process can manifest into what it is. The four circle formation creation explanation is very important. You must develop the meditative understanding of it. Initially, maybe you try to develop the contemplative understanding. It's also good enough, not too bad really. Yeah. Then it will enable you to have the understanding to cultivate sincerely to realize the second circle, pure awareness nature. That one is most important. Once you can stabilize that, all your understanding will arise naturally. After that, technically, I use the word, you don't need a teacher. You can develop all the understanding yourself. Whether it take you how long, depend on your coming path, and your affinity with the Triple Gem, the Great Beings. Yeah.
Just a quick question. If I based on what I understand now, all four circles are there in a human being at the same time, and then it's because delusion is very thick that we are stuck at the external form and the mundane mind circle, and then we are not sensitive to the true mind.
Correct.
Or the
hardly touch
non existence of the Buddha nature, but all four circles are always in the our daily living. When we are going about, all four circles are always there.
Yeah, within our form and mind, along with whatever, you can seize the mind, the mundane mind, to realize the third circle. Then through the wisdom, seize completely even the pure awareness to realize Nibbana, which is the unconditioned. And those sainthood way, they only touch the source, Anasana, for a glimpse or a moment, or a very short period, but they haven't located the gateway to the nature. That's why they don't understand what that second circle is, the pure awareness nature. They only have a glimpse or a certain brief moment of the cessation, but they don't have any understanding of what the awareness nature is and capable of. That one is actually your true mind, your pure awareness nature, that is capable of a lot of cultivation, understanding. That one is very amazing. That one, only the bodhisattva who take the bodhisattva way develop that nature's cultivation. To do that, you need to silence everything and do the fourth support, trust. Trust your true mind, the true nature, to develop the meditative movement to locate the gateway to our nature. It's somewhere inside your heart area. But you must silence everything, stay there, and let it detect and let it move. Then when it detects, a lot of things will happen. Your external yin-yang energy, they will flow in and they will melt inside there and become pure energy. And then the internal transformation, the movement, the activity, all, it will start to happen. So this is how it can happen. And it's supposed to be understood so that the cultivation of the sainthood way is understood. Then the bodhisattva way also can be understood. Then the whole training can be developed. Yeah. So what Sui has explained is very good, the sharing. Most living beings, you are trapped at the third and the fourth circle. Means your mundane mind is very active. And to you, the phenomenal world of consciousness is like very real. This is where everything happened. This is what existence is. So this is life, where the three periods of time, through delusion, the mundane mind create. But through meditation, when you realize that all these three periods of time, they are still within the field of thought, still within consciousness, it's not the true mind that can go beyond thought, beyond the psychological memory time, the thinking, that can realize the true mind to see things as they are, to comprehend all this, to understand all the creation and the movement, to awaken. Then when the mundane mind realizes itself and sees, that's how the cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana take place. So when that wisdom that realizes itself and sees, then the mundane mind sees. Then during that time, when it goes through the nibbanic process, the pure awareness also sees. That's why you have a glimpse of the Buddha nature, the source, the original nature. So this is how it happened. But for the Bodhisattva way cultivator, the great beings, the Bodhisattva, they will cultivate the second circle, the pure awareness nature, until the second circle become very, very supremely powerful, luminous. Then this nature, once it transformed to that, they would have reached what the Bodhisattva has to go through, the five stages of Bodhi mind development. So when the stage one, when you plant the seed of Bodhi, is the second circle that plant the seed of Bodhi. Yeah. Then the Bodhi mind that can develop all the wisdom to endure and severe all suffering is also developed through here, the second circle. Then the second circle, it will reach more or less the pinnacle of cultivation when it hit the third stage of Bodhi mind development. Bodhi mind that can illuminate that nature means when you plant the seed of Bodhi and develop all the wisdom, cultivation, and the perfection until you can severe and endure all suffering, then you continue with that third stage of Bodhi mind development to illuminate that nature. And when you can illuminate that nature, you become very beautiful. That whole nature is like completely illuminated, and you understand all the like secret inside there. You develop the understanding, like all the Dhamma door open already. You have the master key already. Then you can connect all the teaching, the understanding, everything, the mundane and the supramundane. Yeah. Then from there, your nature become very powerful, very different. Then from there, they will move on to the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, which is Bodhi mind that renounces samsara. So by then, today, to them, the Bodhisattva, samsara is nothing. People who don't understand may say, it takes aeons and aeons and aeons. They're very scared to continue that training. No. To the great beings, the Bodhisattva, who have gone through the third phase of Bodhi mind development, samsara is so beautiful. They would have understood true emptiness is wonderful existence. Zhen kong miao you. That's how they become very different, and they manifest so beautifully. So this is what the supreme vehicle cultivation, the Bodhisattva way, is all about. So hopefully with this four circle formation explanation, more and more understanding can arise for cultivator of the way who has the condition to go this way to develop the clear understanding and the faith. So I wish all Kayamita good progress and good condition to understand all this. It because of causes and conditions that this sharing is also supposed to be meant to be. In fact, the rain started just before we started the sharing. Until now, it's still raining. But just now, it was really, really very like the nature's manifestation of what supposed to happen, the rejoicing, very, very strong, very mesmerizing. Okay, so with that explanation, we come back to the notes. I will finish it off a bit more to go. Then after Hui Neng expressed all those beautiful expression, how amazing that all Dhamma come from this self nature, means the pure awareness nature. Then Master Hong Ren told Hui Neng, he said, if one can recognize us, that original mind, or that true mind, or that true nature, the Buddha nature, means once you have perfected that, awareness nature, the pure awareness nature, then develop the cessation until you can understand and recognize that original mind or the true mind, or what we call the Buddha nature, the original nature. And then he is called the great man, teacher of man and God, or a Sama Sambuddha. Then from there on, he passed on the rope and the begging bowl as a symbol of the Dharma seal of sudden enlightenment to Hui Ling to appoint him as the sixth patriarch to take over from him. Then the final paragraph. Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Ling was not allowed to make himself known as the sixth patriarch until later on. That's why Hong Ren Fosu, the fifth patriarch, advised him, "You should leave now. The boat, everything was arranged already." Then he actually asked Hui Ning to follow him and move away from his temple, and he advised him to go south. That's why Hui Ning took the advice. And according to the sutta, there was another phase of the sharing which is not written here, but it's very beautiful. When the fifth patriarch actually asked Hui Ning to go, when they were on the boat leaving, the fifth patriarch actually volunteered to steer him. But Hui Ning said, "No, master, after you have taught me, now I can steer you," he said. That's why he allowed the fifth patriarch to actually steer him to certain, not far from the monastery, then and told the fifth patriarch that now he is ready to steer himself. That's why he told the fifth patriarch, "You can actually leave him alone so that he can continue the journey." But he knew what the message was, because the message was he hinted to Hui Ning where to go and lie low and wait for causes and conditions to arise before you make known to the world that the patriarchship has been transmitted to him. And he lied low for a period of almost 16 years, if I'm not wrong, before he had the causes and conditions to arise. That's how the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta comes to be. Yeah? So I read to you the last part. "Although this story is as clearly stated as it can be, it should also be noted that Hui Ling was not permitted to make himself known as the Six Patriarch until later. This was due to the fear that his fellow monks might be angered and harm him that he had been made the sixth patriarch and not Sun Siu or any of the other monks who had seniority over him." So this is what the fifth patriarch foresee. He said, "Please don't be too eager to proclaim yourself and claim the appointment to the world," is it, Lilo. "Well, these are the causes and conditions that need to be allowed to go through. Otherwise, it will lead to a lot of unnecessary happening, which can be very detrimental to winning." So luckily he was able to leave. Then finally, even the monks, they chased after him. Meaning there were another phase of the story. I don't know whether we were shared. I think maybe in the commentary, I remember it was shared somewhere. So this one, for those who know Mandarin, is very good.
何其自信本自清净 何其自信本不生灭，何其自信本自居住，何其自信本无动摇，何其自信人生万法。
Yeah, so this part was in Hanyi Pinyin, which is good. But our earlier translation that time, nobody actually wrote the Mandarin and the Hanyi Pinyin. We only wrote the English language version. So this one is good. Whoever who added in this is good. Those who understand the Mandarin is very good. Is Alicia there?
Radio.
Ah, 你可以读那个华语的吗？你很熟悉的啊。
对，他说何其自信，本质清净。
对 ，so this one the English meaning is how amazing that the self nature or our true nature is originally pure. Then next one.
何其自信，本不生灭。
How amazing that the self nature is unborn and undying.
何其自信，本知具足。
So this third one is also beautiful. How amazing that the self nature is inherently complete, don't need anything already. Then the next one.
何其自信，本无动摇。
This one is like the Heart Sutta, you remember? How amazing that the self nature neither move nor stay. Means that nature, you cannot talk about it. One. It has nothing inside there. One. It's complete, perfect. And from there, everything arises. The last one.
而其自信能生万法。
So this one is very beautiful. How amazing that all Dhamma arise from there. So the one Fa is all Dhamma. So all Dhamma, they are not apart from that nature. They arise from that nature, understand? No? It's not that say that true mind fall and become the mundane mind again and develop all the heedless thinking and all. No. From there, you won't fall already. But because of karmic, when you come, that nature is together with it, like Sui said, all the four circles, they are within you. That's why that when the Buddha announced, all living beings, they have the Buddha nature. And this is what it means, understand? Now you understand. All living beings, you know, regardless of how cruel they are, or how deluded they are, or how precious they are, they have the Buddha nature. And we must not forget that. Every living being, even hell beings, they have the Buddha nature. But whether you can realize it or not, develop the understanding of it or not, is another matter. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Then yesterday I sent out a sharing, you remember? The video to the Maikayamita. How many of you have heard that song? It's very beautiful. It's something like if you have cultivated the affinity with the triple gem from the past. 前世因缘, already sealed. Then this life, what must you do? You must cultivate to realize the friction of it. This one.
世上的人啊，问佛曰：
下的一朵，今生要修成佛。哦嘛呢呗咪哄，哦嘛呢呗咪哄，今生要修成佛。
So what you must remember, 前世种下来的因缘，今生要修成果。That one is very important. Like I said, this window, you don't make use of all the sasana condition to actually make use of what you have planted, the seed of bodhi from the past. And if you don't stabilize it, and 修成果 means...realize the friction of it, you would have wasted the window. And to have the window again is going to be a long haul. So hopefully, with all this, you all can develop the faith and the understanding. Then go all out and really determine to cultivate and to plant the seed of bodhi and make all these vows or aditan. With sincerity, faith, and very strong determination, so that all this understanding can continue with you whenever you choose to come or you have to come, so that this training of the Bodhisattva way can be accomplished soon as possible. So all these are very usefulunderstanding. Listen to that song again. I love it when I first heard it yesterday. That's why I shared it with the Kayamita. 前世种下来的因缘 make sure you cultivate it until it develop fruition. Okay, what's the time now? Oh, okay, just nice. 4:30, we just finished. Then we will continue with our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, we stop at page 18. Then next sutta class, we will continue with page 19 onward, which is a new chapter. Okay, awareness-based meditation is aimed at enabling you all to develop this.Stability or inner awareness to realize your awareness nature. That is the second circle. Then, once you have the condition to understand that, then you will know how from there creation starts. How you become the mundane mind. How this mundane mind manifests and spin off the phenomenal world of consciousness.And this is what life is all about. This is what existence is all about. And to understand life, you must have the present moment awareness to see all this clearly and to see the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, and awakening. So with all this explanation, it will definitely help you to develop the understanding ofthe awareness-based cultivation much more clearly. Then with that, you can progress very fast and develop the understanding very fast. And this one is not thought-based meditation. This is awareness-based meditation. From the awareness nature, you develop the direct seeing, the insight into phenomena to awaken.Then you silently observe to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and to see clearly the law of dependent origination, the dwelling, the paticca-samuppada, how from avijja condition sankara activity. So avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vinyanam, vinyanam paccaya namarupa, the second aspect of the five griya of forming mind. And because of this five griya of forming mind, there must be sense basis, salayatana. And dependent on the sense basis, there must be contact, pasat. Then because of contact, there must be feeling that arise, vedana. That's why Vedana Pachya Tanha, because of feeling, there must be craving. Craving condition, grasping Upadana. Then Upadana condition Bhava, which is becoming. Then it condition birth that leads to the whole mess of suffering. So this particular Samapada movement, you will see them clearly when you are at the pure awareness nature. Then especially when you develop the wisdom to realize the cessation of forming mind, then when you come out of it, you see the link very clearly, how one by one it happened. So this is the real cultivation. Then for the awareness-based meditation, I have explained many times. Now I will let you meditate on your own. So remember the first three support. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness. Then the last support, for people who have stabilized their awareness, they can do it. That one is trust. Stay at the heart area, then trust your nature to develop the movement by itself. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, because all the knowing and the doing come from the thought process. So don't. Just silent, maintain awareness, and let it return to its original state of tranquility, stillness of mind, to realize the true mind, the silent mind. Okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that are very conducive for meditation. These are your meditative mind. A mind that is tranquil, peaceful, aware, that is your true mind, your silent mind. So whatever inner awareness that you have developed, inner peace, inner calmness, you try to develop the ability to continue on with it. These are the mind state that can let you stabilize your inner mindfulness or awareness, so that in the midst of life, you can be mindful, you can be aware. Okay, now we'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. The question can be any Dhamma question regarding meditation or what we have discussed today, or also any Dhamma related question that you have studied, or anything that is related to life. Then the last part is whatever you have gone through your experience, you want to share them, so that we can have a session on Dhamma in daily life for sharing with Panamita. You can also come in. Those who want to report meditation or ask questions, you can just on your mic and come in.
Amitabha, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kayamitas. I want to talk about maybe a bit of meditation, and then after that, followed by what I wanted to share a few weeks ago about my holiday.
Good. Sadhu, that will be good. Yeah.
Yeah, before that, maybe I find a quieter place to talk. It's not difficult to hear.
Okay. We can hear you very clearly, actually.
Yeah, but I will be disturbing my
others.
So I think I find a quieter place.
No problem. Take your time. Yeah.
Yeah, so recently, Brother Teo sent out the transcript book, latest. So yesterday I wanted to take a look at it, which I did. But actually the funny thing is, before I wanted to look at it, I told myself that I would do meditation yesterday.
Ah,
okay. Yeah, so I say I'll do meditation, but just before I do the meditation, then I thought about Brother Teo sent out the message to say that you have the book sent to us. So I said, maybe I don't do meditation, read the book a bit first, lah, huh?
Ah,
you know, so that's what I did. So I did that, read the book, lah, you know. So I read, well, it was very, very nice, very nice. But then because the weather is very hot, Brother Teo, huh?
Okay.
So I feel very tired. So I like almost dropped, very tired, like cannot open my eyes to look at it anymore,
yeah.
No?
Although actually, you want you to meditate.
Because I wanted to meditate in the first place, but then because I think of a
yeah.
book, I went and opened and read the book. Eh?
Then your nature will know.
So I went to meditate, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, enough now. I meditate later, I continue to read, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And then when I did my meditation, right, the funny thing is, just before I meditate, I said, oh, today I will look into my true mind. I say, you know.
Very good.
Yeah. So then when I meditate, right, Brother Teo, very soon, I stay in my heart, you know. The heart you know, it's, Brother Teo, when I first started do meditation and now a totally different one.
Yeah, because you have stabilized already.
It's very different. Not just stabilized, but initial last time the pounding is like very loud one, no. Now it's like
no more.
You cannot even hear one, no, brother. You cannot even hear one, no.
All this is no more.
Your
vibration has transformed. The nature's vibration that has transformed your physical too. So all this is going to make you different. That's why when you go in, a lot of people who haven't done it, they will not understand. But those who have done it, you will come to know, like I always explained last time. How come last time so easy to meditate, especially before your Monday mind collapsed? You find that it's very easy to go in and develop all those mind state and understanding. But once the Monday mind collapse, or once you have gone through the awareness nature meditation long enough, the vibration becomes so fine, more and more fine, more and more, a lot of things happen, transform, then it becomes very different. Then when you just relax, the whole thing goes in already. Then you're able to stay there. Then sometimes the test will come, it make you feel like today is like something not right on. Like everything not according to the trend on, but you just let it be, then it will fall into place or not very fast. So all this cultivated or the way will go through. Then for your case is because you have this understanding and also the experience over the past few 2 or 3 years that have actually made you very different. Then, like this time you go in, you will describe it as very big difference. Big difference between then and now. Like you say, the preliminary stage where you first time hear your heart pounding, very gross, very long. Then it take a while for it to slow down and become quiet, peaceful. But because you have gone through this many rounds and you have developed the stability of it to make your inner vibration and transformation so different, then later on inside, a lot of things will happen on. Then it's like hollow. Then a lot of things transform already. You will see the big difference. I think I will not describe too much of it because a lot of people cannot follow. Then you don't go and look for it. No. It will happen by itself. Then whatever arise, that nature will understand. Then as the transformation continue, the internal movement continue, it will evolve and become different again, different again. That's why there are a lot of changes that will happen within. And that transformation within, only cultivator of the way who have accessed the gateway can do it. Otherwise, they can't. So for Kayamita, who has not developed until that possibility, just be patient, listen. It will help you. Well, later on, when your time comes, all this will fall into place and you will understand. Okay, Pusha, you continue to describe. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely what Brantio said. I mean, for me now, the habit is like very, very soft. I say not quiet and still enough, you can hardly hear anything. You know? But I stay at the heart, right? So you will come and beat again. You know, you will beat again if I'm quiet enough. You know,
correct.
And then I don't know how to describe this, but Brother Teo, I always feel that somehow because I have detected the gateway, right? I somehow can go into through the gateway, and then into the mundane mind very smoothly in, you know. Then I know that I'm inside the mundane mind, you know, Brother Teo. I don't know, like, you know, I can feel, I don't know how to describe, but when I mean silent and aware, right, that I can detect that I'm going into this.
Yeah, you can observe
through
their
my
movement.
Yes.
The mundane mind's activity and movement. Yeah, the awareness is very, very stable.
So I can feel it.
Can see and observe all this.
So I can see that smoothly I'm going into the pure awareness, the awareness nature, the true mind that Bertil mentioned, right? So it's like superly different, you know, when I go in.
Once you reach that stability, it becomes very different.
Very different again, you know, totally like from the mundane activities into total tranquil, calm and still,
correct.
nothing happening, it's just aware. So it's just that state, and then after that, I detect something. Now that detection is because, like I told you, I was very tired. My first snore came, you know, I straight away can detect the snoring, okay? I can become aware again, and then nothing happened, and just aware, stay inside, you know, for until my alarm rings, you know, Brother, until my alarm rings, which is like an hour later, lah, you know, and then actually just before my alarm ring, right, I detect again the loud noise, the house, you know, there's something in the house that is making a lot of noise, you know, I hear the noise, but I just aware of it, but I didn't do anything because it's inside the true mind, you can't do anything about it.
Haven't come out to the conscious state.
So you're just aware that there is this thing happening, like, and then after that my alarm ring, and then after that slowly I come out of my awareness nature into this mundane mind again. Then you can perceive what happened, you know, then you recall what happened. And that is what happened, you know. You can kind of like recall in your memory.
Recollect through memory.
The noises.
Because the awareness that is aware can recollect on.
Correct. So you can recall like playing a tape like that, rewind, and then you know this is happening just now, you know. So that was the meditation I did, because after I stopped reading the transcript book, lah, you know, so I said I will do the meditation, you know. So it was interesting that I know I always feel that I can access the gateway, you know, into the true mind, you know, right?
One, unless people have done it and developed the stability of it, it's not easy. Even people who just detected it, they find it quite a while before they can stabilize it. Then every time they meditate, it will settle down very fast. But to detect that gateway to go in, the first instant of it is very important. The first instant when it happens, do not be complacent, stabilize it. Then let it happen, relax deep into it. And then that whole thing will stabilize and open up that. You call it like a tunnel open up, but that gateway is actually the way to access it. And when the yin yang energy, they flow through it, you must continue to relax then it will transform and it will do the movement activity all by itself, and the awareness that is aware will understand it clearly and will know what manifests and what happened and how the byproduct, especially gaseous, like you release a lot of gas, then a lot of tingling and all those things, sensation inside, like the whole thing sometimes is like, it's beyond you, because that effect will trigger off by itself. Then you just, like I said, assume you are a dead person, just let it do, let that nature do, trust that nature to do. Then let all this manifestation take place. It is intelligent on its own, and it will know what to do. Then when the time comes, it will come out by itself. Then you will understand what the whole thing is. So all this movement and transformation that occur and happen when you do the fourth support is a totally new field of understanding. But this cultivation only possible for those who take the Bodhisattva way. Otherwise, it's not possible to have all this ability to even locate the gateway to go in. It's not possible. Then a lot of people who started taking the Bodhisattva way also, they find it a while before they can actually come to the fourth support. The fourth support is actually not easy. You need to have a lot of parami from the past and also affinity with the great beings, the triple gem, and all those things. Otherwise, not easy. Very good. Yeah, Pusing, Sadhu. So you want to add one more part that you mentioned about your holiday?
Yes. But before that, brother, what you mentioned earlier on about the hollow heart opening, that also happened by itself, brother.
Yes, by itself. It's like, I mean, a lot of play become like hollow.
I don't know, I call it like a hole, you know, brother, like a hole.
It's like a
tunnel,
hole,
whatever it is.
Like hollow, like inside booming gear, nothing inside there. You're not Hokkien, right?
No, I'm not.
Like inside that movie,
It's also very bright inside, you know, brother.
Definitely.
Very bright inside.
It's like hollow,
very bright inside, you know, like a big hole, inside, almost
those
like
who haven't detected the gateway, I tell you, it's very difficult to even stay at the heart there. For them, to stay at the heart is very difficult. Then for them to settle down until it can be with the heartbeat, also very difficult. But once they can stabilize and stay at the heart, it's the beginning already. Then that time I remember, at the heart area, a lot of vibration, a lot of all this. That's why it haven't gone in and transform. Then that part, very difficult to detect and manifest. Even in the early day, I shared with you all last night, we all used to Anjali, you remember, fold our palm and pay our respect and develop all the chanting, everything. Then when you Anjali, there's an energy going towards your heart. And that one is the one actually trying to open up your heart area, the heart area. But this one is external energy going in. So initially to open this up is not easy, but it will make it more sensitive. But what you need is awareness. The awareness that go in one is the real transformation. But to go in without the gateway initially is almost impossible. But this awareness energy, I remember, when I returned to my heart that time, initially, end of 88, I was doing the daily mindfulness. Then I returned to the center of my heart. That time I cannot detect the gateway. So my energy built up there. Then it tried to open up. Very difficult, I realized. That time I need to slow down my cultivation. It become too strong. The energy build up become too strong. Then luckily my last guide came. The timing was perfect. Then that time, the first three support, I already knew what it is, and I already developed it until very, very stable. Then when he showed me where the gateway is, once I located it, all my accumulated yin yang energy from the heart down, I remember, flow in. Then very soothingly it went in. Then it start to transform. It become pure energy, then the movement. Then that transformation take a while. Then initially I remember it's like the nature's energy that come to me from my affinity with the great beings and all these special, unique great beings. They actually come, but too strong for me to actually receive it. So I need to relax deep into it, slow down my cultivation, and let it happen, let it happen. Then over a long period of time, only it starts to like transform. Then become like hollow, nothing inside there. But for the external, even to open up the heart area is very difficult. Before you detect the gateway, the process is very, very slow. And without the gateway, your whatever energy you build out at the heart area or even your tantian or whatnot, they got no outlet. They cannot go out. They cannot melt inside. They cannot do anything to your transformation inside. So that fourth support, they cannot do one. So all these are the understanding that you all maybe need to develop the understanding so that later on, when you cultivate, you will understand what this awareness-based cultivation means. And when you do it, you will develop the understanding. That it will also help you all later on when you are ready to come out and develop the sharing on your own. So all this understanding, they will come to you, and you no need to look for it. And yes, as long as you continue this awareness-based meditation, the transformation will go continuously, go on. Like I said, unending. It's not something that is finished. No. It is unending one, because the manifestation, the condition, everything is unending. Like we come to share before, civilization and all this, they evolve on unending. Life is unending. So you cannot finish off that type of cultivation. But perfection is different. Perfection, you can perfect them all until you realize the full perfection. So that one is different. But when it comes to cultivation, it's unending. Even wisdom is unending. Because it will continue to evolve, and you continue to learn, you continue to discover, you continue to understand. But these are all awareness based on through the direct seeing and the transformation. So all this understanding, normal people cannot understand. But for those who has the condition and affinity, it's good to listen. So that when the time comes, especially Kayamita, when it transforms, you understand the whole process. And this preliminary understanding will help you to actually accelerate your transformation later on. But once you hit it, everything will like fall into place. Then all the words that you heard before, they come back to you. Then it become very meaningful, like an imprint inside there. Then it's like, oh, that's it. So beautiful. All along was like that. But before it happened, you cannot understand. Where this one need transformation, especially the fourth support, gateway, detection, and the whole movement and transformation and cultivation inside that. That phase, I think, from now onward, as Kayamita, we will do more and more of that. Because these are the teaching that I felt, my nature felt, has to come out. Because there are many cultivators of the way who will need it later. And all these are like meant to be, has to surface, then it need causes and condition for it to arise. So everything has to fall into place for it to be possible. That's why all these conditions, if you are attentive and you can really understand and follow, then you will come to a realization that is very important. All our recent sharing has become so different. No? Causes and conditions keep on manifesting for my nature to speak more and more of all this aspect of cultivation that normal people don't do. But it continued to arise. And it has become like something which the maybe totality wants it to come into this existential world to benefit cultivator of the way, both now and in the future. So all this is starting to develop the movement, which my nature rejoices, of course, and it can see it happening. That's why all the Kayamita who has the understanding, cultivation, and affinity, when they share and ask that question, it will lead to all this one. Very, very beautiful. Sadhu, Pujek, you continue now.
Yes. Okay. Just now, the Brother Teo was talking about the detection of the gateway and the transformation, right? And then one of the byproduct is the pure gaseous that will come out. Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I just want to add this observation that I had, which I have not shared, I think. So when this thing happened, right, Brother Teo, it's not just happening for one day, you know, it's happening for almost 1.5 months for me, you know. Every day is like there's this gaseous coming out.
Yeah, non stop.
Yes, for 1.5 months, you know, Brother
Teo. It's actually to purify you, detoxify.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it means that like trap gas, trap toxin that need to come out.
So it was like, so long, you know, that it's happening, you know, that
I
realized that it happened to me for a long time, you know, just not one day. Okay.
Oh, definitely. So, it will stay there for very long. There's sometimes for no reason. The gas that come out a lot, especially if you eat something not right or what. Or it will keep on releasing it out. That one is later part. But when you go into the gateway, that one come out, no smell, nothing. That's why there is a big difference. The one that come out through the food you eat that is not so conducive for your health, and that one is a bit towards the smelly side. But that one, you will release it through the rectum, where you pass your feces and all those things. But the one that go through the gateway on is different. The pure energy that release that trap energy that's supposed to be released and create the movement for transformation, internal transformation. That one, actually, no smell. That one, it will just release and just come out of it. It's like a very natural release. Just come out. It's like you don't need to force it or what. It just come out. But that one, hardly anybody can hear. It's from the system inside. And that one is just that very fine movement inside. But you are in the state of so relaxed and so still, the awareness is very different. You can detect all this. Then you like I used to say, like, you are dead now. You are dead, and all the movement that you just let things be, then everything that happened by itself. But dead, yet not dead now, it's like that. So beautiful. And the releases, like whatever people do, the word trust your nature, you just let it do. Then it will manifest. And all these are very beautiful understanding that cultivator of the way will go through. And like I said, different people have different paths, different bodily formation and all those things. So sometimes what each and everyone go through may be slightly different with some variation here and there, but basically the whole basic transformation or core happening will be in the same direction, and the result of it is also more or less the same, where the final product is the same. So all this, you will develop the understanding, then you will see the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma, where the Buddha Dhamma covers so completely and extensively about human existence, human life, human transformation, and the cultivations, perfection, transformation, a lot of things, all within the spiritual field. Of course, it has a lot to do with that nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. The one involving the thought and the mind already complicated enough, the existential world. But you will understand all the Dhamma there, and then you can live. Then you also understand the nature's Dhamma, the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why these two, when you perfect them and you have both understanding, life becomes beautiful, wonderful. Then it's like you have understood the thing so clearly, through complete understanding of what that nature is and the existential world is. That's why they say, once you have this understanding, you realize true emptiness. Where everything towards the end is empty. He know you, he know me. Even life exists now, or don't exist one. Not what you think one. But there is such a thing as a conditioned world, as life, as existence. And it has its Dhamma. The existential world Dhamma, the conditioned world Dhamma. And it has its beauty, its wonders and all those things. That's why finally you will understand the famous saying of the Heart Sutta, true emptiness is wonderful existence, 真空妙有. So all these, when they arise, they are so beautiful, so amazing, so wonderful. Very good. Okay, thanks for that good sharing. You continue.
But anyway, Brother Teo, talking about this fine gas, right? This fine gas is not something that we can control or...
Correct, right. It released by itself. Because it happened inside.
It happened by itself, and it's very, very tiny, tiny bubbles.
Very fine.
It's like tiny bubbles.
It just come out by itself.
And it has the tingling sensation in the body.
Only the normal cultivator inside there can actually perceive it.
So it's a very interesting manifestation in the body. Okay, so now I want to talk about the holiday incident that I had in March. I went to meet up with my friends, for holiday. I went there. We all of us went with our husband. Six of us went there, and it's a place that we've never been before. All of us never been before. It was for me, it's interesting to go somewhere that I've never been to, so that you can discover things, at the things, have some, discovery try to find out what is going on there and enjoy the food, the scenery, people, the culture and things like that. So we went there, and then it's a free and easy. Plus, we also book packages so that we don't have to go on our own, because the place is new to us. So it's easier. So we follow the tour package that we book prior to that trip. Actually, I book it in Singapore. So they arrange everything in Singapore, and then we just go there and then follow the tour, you know, things like that. So one of the tour is to visit a place. Actually, it's a nature lah. It's a national park. Okay, and
that's
then
beautiful. Yeah, nature's park are very beautiful.
Yeah, the nature's park, national park. They call it the Doi Intanon. Okay, and then we had this tour bus that is about like 10 or 12 people like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that, I think. Maybe it's just 8 to 10 like that. I cannot remember because we got two different tour packages, so I also forgotten. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we went there, and then this tour guide, because it's a small mini bus that we went, right? So the tour guide was sitting in front. Once all of the tourists, I mean, so-called passenger in the bus, he will set the journey and he will start talking on the mic and tell you, what to expect, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just say a few things like what to expect, you know, what is the first destination, what is the second destination. So the first destination is a toilet break, and after that followed by the waterfall. So go and see waterfall. Wow, very exciting place to see waterfall. So we went to see the waterfall, and it was so beautiful, you know, and things like that. And after that, we walked a bit in the park, you know, the national park. And then after that, we have to take, you see, the thing is the national park is like restricted area, you know. It's not like you can take a private car on your own and then drive up there, you know, because there will be security guard that actually.
Yeah. Place, most, you know, of these parks, they have the security.
You cannot just like book your own car, private car, and go, you know. So you have to follow some kind of tour or whatever. And then you have to have insurance as well, you know, for individual passenger as well. So we reached this national park, and then he didn't talk to us much thing. This guide, very interesting one. He just sit in the bus, and after that he fall asleep already, and he was snoring away all the way to the to the place, you know, right? So my friend was telling me this guy is sleeping away and just snoring so loud. I mean, in front, those that sleep in front. So she was telling me that. But I couldn't really hear it because we were just resting and looking outside, you know.
Didn't
bother by the snore. And when we reached the national park, right, where we have the twin pagoda, that is the interesting place. The king and the queen, you know, of Thailand, you know.
Yeah.
Pagoda, you know, where it's built in memory of them. Actually, not yet in memory. Actually, built for them, you know. They built the pagoda when the king is 60 years old, you know, brother. To celebrate his 60th birthday, you know. So this pagoda, very big and very nice, huge, on top of the mountain, you know, brother. Okay, the king and the queen. So this guy just tell us, okay, he told us, you people got this half an hour to look at the pagoda and the garden and everything, and then you come back and meet us here, you know. The whole group must come back and meet at the destination, the point, point, you know. And cannot be late, so it's like a half hour. So we did that. So we were released, all of us just go and see, you know. Then he tell you, you go to the King Pagoda first, after that followed by the Queen Pagoda, you know. So we said, okay, we do that. And then the interesting thing, because we only have half hour, actually we don't know how big is the place, no, brother, you know. We just like on our own, you know, just go, you know. I mean, among us, we just go and do whatever we want, you know. So we follow his instruction, go to the King Pagoda first. So we went there. So we went there, we see the, of course, in the pagoda, we can go in and pay respect. You know, pay respect. Okay, we pay respect the Buddha statue, very huge one, no? And then after that, we finish paying respect, we go out and look at the garden, you know, outside the pagoda. It was so beautiful and so big on top of the hill, right? And of course, like most tourists, we take a look at the flower, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Then we said, well, no time already, we have to go and see the other pagoda, you know, okay. So we as a group, we try to be as a group, among us, not the others, tourists. Among us, we just make sure we follow the time, put a timer and things like that. So we went to the second pagoda. But the breath, before I go I mentioned the second pagoda. You see, most of the things here is written in Thai language, you know, so we cannot read, we cannot understand. We just look and then that's it, you know, admire and see, you know, but we cannot understand. Read what is it about, you know, the kind of thing, the story, whatever you want to know. You cannot, you know. So you need to Google and to find out what is the thing around here and things like that. Okay, so we didn't really get to fully understand what is inside the pagoda, you know, other than the stup, the Buddha statue, you know, things, and the so-called history pictures around the walls, that's it, you know, that kind of thing. So that's all you can see, you know, and the garden that is very beautiful, you know. Yeah, which is very, very beautiful. All sorts of flowers and all sorts of plants. And then after that, we went to the second pagoda. That is when something happened to me. So I went to the second pagoda, right? So this is the Queen Pagoda, you know, right? So the Queen Pagoda, as usual, I said, ayo, actually, we run out of time, right? You know, we run out of time. We really run out of time, 15 minutes to see the second pagoda. And then we have to go and meet at the... We have to go to the meeting point.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I just go in and pay respect and, you know, bow. And then after that, I will go and look for my friends, you know, because my friends are all not into this kind of Buddhism, paying respect. They just take a look and then they go off already, you know. So me, it's like, at least I must pay my respect and, you know, say something, express my gratitude that this opportunity to be with my friends and my husband here, you know, to gather, you know, and how you call that, gather and meet as a kind of reunion for us, you know. So after that, Bharatio, I bow already, Bharatio, after I say what I want to say, then suddenly my nature surfaced out. I must do something, you know. I must recite something, you know. I must recite something. I say recite something. I cannot recite anything, you know. Because firstly, I was thinking what to recite, you know. And then in what language, I mean in Thai, I cannot read the Thai. So I looked at
it. You can do it in whatever language you are.
So I went to, I look left, I look at the right side, anything to read, you know, anything can I see, you know, that I need to read. So I look at the right. I look at the right first. After I look at the left side, because I was still bowing down, in front of the Buddha statue. So I look right, and then I look left. Right, there's nothing, you know. Then I look at left. Huh? There's something, you know, Bharatio. There's something. Then I saw, you know, what it says here. Holy relics, you know. This English word. Holy relics. I'm full of joy. Huh? Holy relics. At least I know what is this, you know, Bharatio. After that, I look at it. What is this word? How to read, you know. And I say, I don't know how to read this, you know. Then after that, I glance quickly. Then I say, hey, got some Buddha. That one I know, you know. Then I realize I know this is probably a Pali word. So I said, I can recite this. So I recite this out, you know, the full sentences. And then after that, I look down. Oh, yeah, all this in Thai, I cannot understand. So I didn't recite. So I recite already. I bow down. I say thank you, you know, for this opportunity for me to recite these holy relics, you know. So after that, I was full of joy, you know. Although I don't understand what is this, you know, Bharatio.
No need to understand.
I don't understand what is it because it's in Pali, but other than the Sammasam Buddha and the holy, you know. Yeah, so I was like, okay. So I did that, and then I also forgotten to take a picture of it. I totally don't do this kind of thing. And then we take a picture. Like, after I come back, I never take picture, and then try to understand what is this, you know. I didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Then what happened?
Then nothing happened. Okay, so I just recite for that opportunity. The nature tell me that I need to read this, you know, in front of the Buddha, you know, to pay respect and recite this holy relics. I do not know what the significance is, but I have to do that, Bharatio.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, also detect the relics vibration or so on.
No, my heart actually vibrated, Bharatio. My heart actually vibrated. Yes, but that I didn't know that was the relax. When I was doing the bowing, just before the nature said I have to recite something, right? Actually, my heart was already vibrating. Only at this pagoda, only my heart vibrated.
Yeah,
at
the first it was pagoda, sense something one.
At the first pagoda, there's no vibration. Only the second one, I had the sensation of the vibration in the heart, and then it tells me that I have to recite something, you know. So I was figuring out where to read the thing, you know, where to look for the thing to read, you know. And I also do not know any Pali chanting for relax chanting, you know, Brother Teo. That was the interesting thing that I found out, that I have to do something at the Queen Pagoda, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Then after that, the rest of it, I just go out and admire and view all the gardens and flowers and things like that. As I go down, another thing happened. Okay, another incident happened to us. So we go down and then meet the guide, and the rest of us took the bus back down the road, huh? Because the package include lunch, you know. And shopping at the market, like buying fruits and things like that. But before we do that, we will have our lunch first. So we go down as a group, we go down to the restaurant to eat our lunch. So the lunch was like a buffet lunch on the table, and everybody has their food, and the food is served to us, you know. So we enjoy the food.
Jay, you have to summarize already. Well, we have exceeded the 6 o'clock. Only 6:00.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
You summarize.
Okay. Sorry. So this one, we had our lunch. Lunch, right? After having lunch, we said that we will have a coffee, and then my husband go and buy the coffee. And then when the coffee came, it was so hot that we couldn't drink it. We have to open the lid. And then after that, what happened was, Brother Teo, because we were relaxing, right? So I had this spacious awareness, no thought, right, Brother Teo? And then after that, right, the specific phenomena happened to me, you know, Brother Teo.
Oh, sadhu.
Yes. You know what happened or not? Actually, I see. It's the cup of coffee that my friend and the husband was sharing, you know. The cup of coffee, the husband passed the cup of coffee to her, right? And then the coffee spilled onto her, you know, Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Spilled onto her. And then I see this specific phenomena awareness, the mind just, you know, the flow with it, you know, flow with it. And it magnified the picture of the spill.
Very
magnified.
Beautiful experience. Then you like can understand what is going on. Will be one. Miss all the causes and conditions already there already. It will manifest.
Yes. So it manifested, it slowed down and it kind of like magnified.
It's like show it to you.
Show it to me. How it happened, you know, how it happened. Like so slow. Then I was thinking, how can it be so slow? I mean, of course, this is after the fact. How can it be so slow?
It's your awareness nature that manifested it and transformed it. It appear like slow, but actually the whole thing is moving at normal speed.
It's normal
but
speed.
But you will see it that way because of our nature. Our nature has the ability to see it, observe. That's why I can feel the sign, everything I can see. Then I can see the whole movement. There are a lot of things like my nature can understand one. So this will manifest. Good, sadhu.
So that was very interesting for me, you know, that I able to see it. Maybe I'll continue another day about
this
because my friend, they were also very panic, you know, because it's a hot coffee, you know, the thing. So I also wanted to understand maybe through Brother Teo explanation, the next session, how to
help, no problem,
to understand this situation.
Sadhu. Very good. Let us rejoice. We have to end now. They are 6:05. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, then we will end. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sugita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetocha vito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end our whole session. Sadhu.